Ride, another ride, and another ride on this Saturday morning. It always seems like the days run together. I know it's Saturday, but sometimes, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people are in the same boat as I am. You wake up and say, what day is it? It seems like everything runs together, but we're busy regardless of the day. We just do different things. We're always busy, but take a little ride this morning. As always, a lot of things to talk about as we are here at the Borgata, broadcasting live from the sportsbook, BetMGM. It's going to be busy here. Well, it's busy here every weekend for sure. But next week with the Super Bowl, it'll be crazy in here. But with college basketball, I mean, there was playoff games. It was crazy. But we'll get into all that. But what we do have to get into. Here's a question. It's not the question to win the gift certificate today, but will Joel Embiid ever play a season healthy? Does anybody have confidence in that? Well, at this point in his career, I wouldn't think you would. Will he ever play a season healthy? But the question I have, and I'm sure many fans have, is what the hell is going on with the injury? Now, think about this. They said it's an injury to the lateral meniscus, which is a mumbo jumbo. What is the injury? What period of time will he be out? See, the Sixers, and they play tonight against the Nets at home, but then they have three games next week at home. Dallas comes in for the only time with Luka Doncic. Golden State comes in for the only time, obviously with Steph Curry, on Monday, Wednesday. And then Atlanta comes in. I don't know how many people, go to see Trae Young, but I mean, he's an NBA player that obviously has skill. But the point is, are the Sixers not telling you the length of time that Joel Embiid will or should be out? Or an estimate? Everybody gives you an estimate. They're going to reevaluate Sunday. Isn't that interesting? They're going to reevaluate Sunday with big games, as far as the marquee value of the team with Dallas and Golden State. And I don't think they're sold out. So are they just trying to sell? And there's always tickets, which the Sixers put up some too, on the secondary market, that they're just trying to sell out and give you the illusion that he may be able to play Monday or Wednesday. Now, with the All-Star game coming up the following week, and there's the league plays until Wednesday, and then you have the break for the All-Star game. Why not just give him 2 weeks off? Just let whatever it is heal. And will they ever tell us the injury? Obviously, they corrected. Well, I don't know if they corrected it. They disputed a report, and Shams changed his report from a torn meniscus to a lateral meniscus injury. Why don't they tell us what the injury is? It's a lateral meniscus injury. Well, what is it? I don't know if you can have a strain to the meniscus. Oh, it's not a strain. Whether there's a partial tear, there's no tear, there's swelling. But they identified it as a lateral meniscus. On the same knee that he had a torn meniscus, slight tear, I don't know, what was it, 5-6 years ago? And I don't know the period of time. And he didn't get surgery, which you don't have to get it. It's just pain endurance, and if it's not that bad. I mean, I had a meniscus, and I mean, I played a summer of golf with it, and then I just endured the pain. And then I got the surgery at the end, like in September-ish after, but I played a whole summer with it. So you can do that. But I'm not playing basketball. I'm not running up and down on a hard court. But just tell us. Just be honest. You know, that'd be kind of an interesting... That would be an interesting dynamic for the 76ers. People say, I get on the Sixers. But why don't they tell us about the injury? Why don't they really tell us, why don't they tell us what really happened with Kelly Oubre? I mean, okay, but, and I understand if you're trying to deceive the other team in football. I don't, the other team doesn't care, but football, okay, if it's a key player and you don't want to tell him an injury so they have to practice extra for that player even though you know he probably won't play, I get it for football, not for any other sport. Just tell us what the injury is. it's nonsense that they don't tell us. And the doctors, here's the other thing, and this is... The doctors know. Doctors have an idea. They've examined them. They've examined them twice. They've seen twice. They've examined them more than twice, I'm sure. Doctors are pretty smart these days. I give the doctors credit because they're pretty sharp these days. They know what's going on. And the MRI, there's so much technology to find out what the injury is. Doctors have an idea. And they have an idea of how long they would suggest for him to be out. Here is, and I'm going to play, you know, I am the devil sometimes, according to some people. I don't think I'm a devil. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Doctors have to be careful in today's world to recommend something because it's a litigious world and people sue if they think the doctor didn't do the right thing. It's usually during surgery or didn't do... I mean, I know that doctors have been sued and they haven't performed a surgery because players just want the money. And Joel Embiid's making a lot of money, but he still wants money. He's not... he's one of the more frugal guys in professional sports, and there's a lot of frugal guys, so he's not alone. But the doctor's got to be careful. Okay, yeah, it's okay. You know, I would be careful. If you want to play, fine. But I would be careful. And then you lay it out for him. And if the doctors recommend to the team you shouldn't play, but the All-Star game, you shouldn't play, hey, just give him 2 weeks off. Let him get as healthy as he can get. Not worry about selling tickets. You know, I think all the other things with the MVP award and the scoring title and all that, there's not many games he has left that he can't that he can afford to miss. So just tell us. Just tell us. What's the injury? Just tell us. Just tell us. And how long he's going to be out and how severe it is. And then we'll go from there. You know, if they're swelling, I don't think they perform surgery if they're swelling. So that's part of it, too. All right, we'll talk about that this morning. You're feeling along those lines. Obviously, you're concerned if he's not playing. But shouldn't you tell us to give us an idea? You're not really doing anything beneficial for the team by not telling us other than selling tickets. All right, we'll talk about the Eagles today and your expectations of the Eagles. The expectations, you got new coordinators. Is that enough to give you high expectations when you know there's you still need players? Obviously, they really need players on defense. Offense, they need not as many players. You got to figure out what you're going to do with the offensive line, and they may have that person if Kelce retires, which I think he's going to do, but let him decide what he's going to do, have some fun before he decides, and, you know, and then let everybody know. But you're still going to need probably something there, and you definitely need the quarterback to get better. You know, I don't think people are burying the quarterback, but I think it's pretty obvious. You need the quarterback to get better. Don't be fooled by the fact that he got selected as, I don't even know what alternate he was as a quarterback. The fact that he's in a Pro Bowl is obviously totally misleading. But it'll go on his stat line, X amount of Pro Bowls. And the Pro Bowls, is anybody going to watch the Pro Bowl? I don't even know what it is anymore. It's ridiculous. All right, one of the other things is Nick Sirianni. People wanted to bury him. There's a lot of people both on the air and the public wanted to bury him. Try this on. Not only do I think he's, I don't think you can classify him as a great coach, but he's a good coach. And with Jason Kelce made it clear, crystal clear, that he's a good coach. You know, he's the best coach in the NFC East. Look at the NFC East. You got Brian Daboll, who's a fraud. I mean, he might have been a good coordinator with Buffalo, but I don't know that he's a good head coach. You got Mike McCarthy, who's a dope, and we know he's a bad coach. And then you got Dan Quinn, who's a nice guy and probably adequate, but he wasn't even their first or, I don't believe, their second choice for Washington. Nick Sirianni is the best coach in the NFC East. Whether you want to accept that or not, and accept the fact he's a good coach. Right, let me play, you know what? Let me play what Jason, I'll wait to play what Jason Kelce said. Because I want you to hear that. I'm going to take some calls. I want you to hear it and understand what one of the most, if not the most honest player on the Eagles said. If you hadn't heard it, about Nick Sirianni as a head coach. Oh, our question today. By the way, Mark Lawrence will join us at 9:40 to take a look at the overview of the Super Bowl. And the last 2 weeks, he's given us a college basketball game. Both college basketball games were winners. So he'll give us another one today, too. But our question to win the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's, great place to watch the games. Great place to just go and, you know, enjoy a good meal. The food's very, very excellent. Excellent food. Atmosphere's good. Watch the games. Three locations, Horsham, Fort Washington, and Lionville. It's a simple question, and one player's out of the mix. And it's based on Joel Embiid. The most fragile players, you select one, in professional sports. The most fragile player in professional sports over the years. You can take anybody that just doesn't stay on the field, the court, or the ice, or whatever it is. Let's go to Lamont. Lamont, you're on WIP.
Yeah, Howard, thanks for taking my call. As far as the best coach in NFC East, I'd rather ask a national guy, national media, that question. But,
You can ask whoever you want, but he's the best coach. Who do you think's better?
Joke.
Who do you think's better?
I would take Dan Quinn over Nick Sirianni.
Oh, and what has Dan Quinn done? He got to Super Bowl and lost. Okay, so no more than Nick Sirianni. And he wasn't even the first choice. He was the last choice of the last team and wasn't the first choice of the last team. So you're incorrect with your assessment there, but go ahead.
Right. But I'll ask the national guy. But my question is the Harry Roden. It seems like he builds these good rosters, like 2017 and 2022.
Well, he did have good rosters.
And then the following year is a drop-off. And then the guy in San Francisco, what's his name, the GM out there,
John Lynch.
Like he can maintain the roster. And I like
that. Well, hold it. I don't know that they maintained it. They got lucky with the quarterback. He made a mistake in drafting a quarterback, which he got rid of. Who was the guy that he got rid of and Dallas picked him up? He was like the third pick in the draft.
Trey Lance.
Okay, yeah, Lance. Yep. Okay, so he drafted Trey Lance, gave up multiple first-round picks, then realized the guy was a stiff, and he was lucky that Dallas was stupid enough to get to take him. But I like John Lynch, and I think John Lynch is a very good – but he lost the last Super Bowl. How many years ago was that? Was it 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, something four, like that.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. And what did he do since?
He has maintained a decent roster.
Okay, and you know, what is decent? What is decent? Decent.
I mean,
decent. What does decent mean?
It's never a. But we're always falling off the following year.
Well, wait a minute. But the Eagles, you know what happens when you go to the Super Bowl? And I've tried to explain this to you. Maybe you'll understand it when I explain it to you again. When you go to the Super Bowl, even go there, players on your team, there's always players that are free agents.
Yep.
And they always are looking for them. They're looking to capitalize. Every team that either wins or goes to a Super Bowl loses players. They lose players. I got to look at the record of San Francisco after they lost the Super Bowl. And I obviously it wasn't as good. That's a drop-off, isn't it? It wasn't as good because they didn't go back to the Super Bowl. Okay. All right. It always happens.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to – Howie Roseman took one last shot to try to run it back again.
Yeah.
Made some moves, and they didn't work because it didn't work running it back again. But he tried to run it back again after he went to the Super Bowl with a good team. And the quarterback didn't allow him to run it back again. But, all right, what do you have?
Yeah, I have a player, Yao Ming. It may not win it, but Yao Ming. Take care, Howard.
All right, take it. You know, Yao Ming's not bad, actually. Big guys usually have problems, and he is fragile. Yao Ming, very good player, but, yeah, he was hurt a lot. Let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Hey, Howard, with the talk about expectations with the Eagles. So with the expectations with the Eagles and these new hires, I mean, as far as what you said is, yes, we definitely need new players. I mean, or different players or better players, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
So obviously on offense, I think we're in a much better position on offense for the offense coordinator than we are with the defensive coordinator and the players because basically our back seven –
Really? You don't need as many players on offense, assuming that Jalen Hurts is going to get better.
Correct. So, with that being said, what should we expect as far as, like, I think that the Eagles, with their training camp last year and the fact that they had two new coordinators, you know, and the fact that they basically really don't have a hard training camp, do you think that's going to change this year with the addition of two new coordinators to realize, like, hey, listen, you know, we need more repetitions in new schemes than we did, you know, in previous years when we had stability.
Well, so what are you trying to tell me? I mean, they need less players on offense than they do on defense, for sure. But they need the quarterback. I mean, the key element, you need the quarterback to get better.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%. We need the quarterback to get better. He had a year that wasn't up to par as far as what we were expecting. But, no, what I'm saying is, do you think, like, Last year's training camp with new coordinators, this year's training camp with new coordinators and new players, do you think that the training camp style is going to train to get more repetitions, or do you think they're going to keep it the same?
I think there'll be a little more. Here's – I don't think that's totally Nick Sirianni's decision. I think that's the sports science guys that they have. You know, no tackling to the ground this week, you know, maybe once next week. They've got to figure it out, and it's not all based on sports science. Maybe take what some of the other teams do and look at it that way. But their sports science guys, I think, are the ones that make these decisions, which, it's like I said, it's not always the head coach.
No, I understand it's not always the head coach, but you think, you know, we need to learn by some of our mistakes, so to speak.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think there will be more physical practices this year. Maybe not a lot more, but there'll be more. Yeah, for sure. Hey, do you have
okay,
a
– Just one more thing.
Sure.
I know the offensive line didn't perform up to what we thought they would perform up to last year.
They didn't.
I mean, I guess, obviously, Kelce's a Hall of Famer, all pro. He's still, in my opinion, at the top of his game. But if he does leave, it's going to be, it's definitely going to hurt. So if he does retire, do you see Juergen sliding over and taking that spot? Do you see Dickerson? Yeah, how do you see them filling that spot? Do they get somebody in the draft?
You know what? The draft, they have a lot of draft picks. So, but they probably have a player on the team, but you still got to get the offensive and defensive line are the most important parts of a football team, I think. But they need some defense. They need a lot. They need a lot.
No, and the fact that, I guess one encouraging sign was, Jordan Mailata had definitely improved over the previous year, this past year. Especially with the Pro Football Focus numbers. So, that's encouraging.
You know what? I don't think Jordan Mailata had a better year this year than he had the previous year. I don't care what the hell.
Stats prove it different, but, we can agree.
I don't know. What stats? Pro Football Focus. I don't pay attention to Pro Football Focus. It's just everybody loves these stats and these. We watch the games. And I think Jordan Mailata is a hard worker and a beyond a terrific guy. However, I think it's clear he didn't have as good a year. All right, give me the player.
Ben Simmons.
he is fragile. Okay. All right, you're in. You're in with a chance to win.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, here's the deal. Lamont brought up how the Eagles didn't maintain, yet let John Lynch maintain. Well, the year after they went to the Super Bowl, this is how he maintained. From the Super Bowl to last place in his division, NFC West. He went from, I forget how many wins he had the year. He had 13 wins. 13 wins the Super Bowl year. He had less than half the next year. And it happens. The 49ers were 6-10, Lamont. 6-10. So understand, when you go to a Super Bowl, it's really hard to maintain. And I think John Lynch is a really sharp and an excellent general manager. They went from going to the Super Bowl, blowing a 10-point lead, and losing, obviously, the Super Bowl, 13 wins to 6-10 the next year. So I tried to explain it to you, and I didn't even know the numbers. So maybe you'll understand. Maybe you'll, believe what I say from now on. I'm just trying to help you guys out. 215, first time I've given the numbers, but you know the numbers. You don't have to give it 10, 15 times because you know what the number is. 215-592-9494. We come back. I'm going to play Jason Kelce's glowing endorsement of Nick Sirianni and where the Phillies, spring training starts in less than 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks. Where the Phillies stand in the odds here at the Borgata to win the World Series. We'll do that. WIP, I'm Howard Eskin. The time is 8:23. We can't go on together with suspicious minds. And we can't build our dreams. Because most people in Philadelphia have suspicious minds. I have a suspicious mind when it comes to the Sixers, but the Eagles and, were they going to fire Sirianni? Let me just break this down again, because I was asked this question this week on the air. Why did the Eagles wait so long to announce that he was coming back? Well, you don't announce you're coming back. You only announce that you're going to fire somebody. You don't announce he's coming back. Why did it take so long, I guess, in changing the question, before he spoke? All right, well, here's the deal. Got home at 4 in the morning from Tampa. Remember, that was a Tuesday because it was a Monday night game. So the whole facility was closed. The building was closed. Closed. No players. Only players for treatment were coming in. Nobody else. There was no food, no nothing. Wednesday and Thursday were exit meetings. Friday they called for a snowstorm. Now, the next week, you could have done it let's say, Monday or Tuesday. But the Eagles know that they're trying to get coordinators. They knew that they were going to replace the coordinators. So they were working on, and they actually had hoped to have an announcement the day that he spoke on Wednesday, and they didn't quite complete the deal with Vic Fangio, which came out later, I guess, late in the news conference it came out, or right after the news conference. It came out in a report, which report was correct, 50% of them aren't. So when you ask the question, understand the dynamics of why it wasn't some devious plan to fire him, and they're making a decision on whether they're going to fire him. That's not the way it worked. All right, so here's the deal with Lamont, and I hope you're still listening so you understand. I told you once you lose a Super Bowl, it's difficult. Even once you win a Super Bowl, it's difficult because you lose players. I said the 49ers won six games after they won 13. They were last in their division. There was only three teams that were worse than them in the NFL after going to the Super Bowl. That's number one. Then the Rams, after they won a Super Bowl, how many games did they win, Caleb? Five games the next year. Five games. They won five games the next year after winning the Super Bowl. There's always, you lose players, it's brutal, but it's a way of the world. So just so you understand, Lamont, I mean, next time maybe you'll trust me. Adrian, you're on WIP.
Hey, how about don't give me no Nick Sirianni, the best coach in the NFC East? Just imagine the players that he was handed to when he got here. He should have won Super Bowl and another Super Bowl this year. If them coaches, the other coaches that coached the NFC East
let me just Nick address. Okay.
Hold on, let me just say this.
Okay.
If them coaches that you say he's better than would have had the team that Nick Sirianni was handed to, the Eagles would have won another Super Bowl and be in a Super Bowl this year.
Okay, let's start with you're a Giants fan because you're an idiot. Let's start with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy had a great roster. They won the division, and they lost at home. In the first playoff game, they lost at home. So you're going to tell me Mike McCarthy is a better coach? All right, so he's out.
Because wait a minute, Nick Sirianni had the best offensive line in football and one of the best defensive lines.
Not this year.
The year he came in.
That's fine.
Y'all was the number one. Yeah. So don't give me no Mike McCarthy. Don't try to sugarcoat this stuff.
But you still have to get there. You still have to do it. And should they have won the Super Bowl against Kansas City?
Yes, they should have won the Super Bowl, 500-something yards.
Okay, is that his fault? They scored 35 points, all right? And he's the offensive guy of that team. So they scored 35.
They didn't win, Hal. I don't care what they scored. They didn't win under Nick Sirianni.
You're a Giants fan, so already you're identified as a complete dope. You're just as bad as the Cowboy Cockroaches. All right, here's the deal. In the Super Bowl, the penalty, which they would have had a first down before the fumble because instead of third and one, it was third and six. So now you have the penalty. Now you have the fumble, which led to a touchdown. All right? Then you have, again, it was the defense, missed a bad punt, which created bad coverage. I'm not going to blame the coverage team because the punt was so bad. All right? Okay, the bad punt, which what is the coach supposed to do about that? And then you have missed coverages on two touchdowns. Is that his fault? They should have won if they didn't make mistakes. But the head coach is always responsible. But you're an idiot to think, you think Brian Daboll's better than Nick Sirianni?
Coach him out of his, you see what happened the last time Coach him out of his.
So you're going to base it on one game.
Coach him out of his.
What was the record of the Giants this year? Was it better than the Eagles?
Let me say this to you.
Okay,
Nick Sirianni, if Nick Sirianni loses his quarterback, y'all would have been just as bad as the Eagles was, like y'all was the last seven games. I mean, y'all been just as bad as the Giants was, like y'all was the last seven games.
I don't know about that.
When they kept running the same stuff over and over and over
Brian
he didn't know
Daboll.
What to do. He did not know what to do, Howard. He was always sitting on the sideline making them dumb super justice. So was he making that when
so,
he was running?
All right, so give me your order of. Give me your order of best coaches in the NFC East. Your order one through the last team. One through
Gable,
what four?
Washington coach. Dallas coaches last, and then Nick Sirianni. He's not even a coach. Okay. What does he do? Okay. He's a puppet.
Okay,
Howard.
I'm done. The Washington coach. What's his name? You don't even know his name. Washington coach. Joe Smith. I mean, you know, Cowboys fans are stupid. And Giants fans are pathetic and stupid, like Cowboys fans. Here's the problem with stupid. You can't help stupid because stupid people are stupid. You can't help stupid. You can't teach stupid because they're stupid. What else can I say? It's good. Tom, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard. How are you?
Just a wonderful, wonderful day in paradise. I've never had a bad day in my life, Tom.
I was getting a headache from him. Thanks for cutting him off.
Oh, my gosh. What a waste. What a loser.
Hey, you talk about stupid. Let me tell you, even some of our fans, I think, listen to this. I told my girl, I said, I got to tell Howard this. I hadn't told anybody. He'll appreciate a good joke. The other night, I hit our quarterback a little bit, you know, with a couple negatives. And a caller, say a regular caller, 70 years old, he said that I was, first of all, I didn't know, have a clue about anything. And number two, that I was a slighted Alabama fan, and I held a grudge still because Hurts transferred to Oklahoma. That's rich, ain't it?
Hurts was benched at Alabama. He transferred. Yeah. It's not like he left because he wanted to. Well, he wanted to. But when he gets benched, you got to go someplace where you think you're going to play.
Thank you. Okay. And you talk, and the, as far as that dope Lamont, the 49ers, they lost three first-round picks. They moved out of the 12th pick to get Lance, which was Parsons. And they screwed that up, and then they gave up for McCaffrey a second, third, fourth.
Well, McCaffrey's a stud. McCaffrey probably should be the MVP, but a quarterback always wins the MVP. He'll be the offensive player of the year. McCaffrey, I have no problem with the McCaffrey trade. Now, the Trey Lance, he took a shot, and he was, I mean, that happens. I think John Lynch is excellent. But, however, like but after my point is, after a Super Bowl, it is difficult to maintain that level, more so when you lose for whatever reason, and it's also difficult when you win. Kansas City is different, but Kansas City's got Mahomes,
right?
You know, and Belichick's a loser without Tom Brady. He's a loser. That's why he's not a head coach now. Some national media are making an excuse. Oh, he wanted complete control. I mean, give me a break. He's a horrible talent evaluator. Complete control. Nobody really wanted him as a head coach.
I think the league made a right stand there because, correct. I'm not saying he's because he's not maybe as sharp as he used to, but like you said, his record since Brady left, I mean, it speaks for itself.
Oh, yeah, definitely speaks. He had one winning season. He's just pleased. And then Brady won a Super Bowl with an above-average team in Tampa. Shows you how good Tom Brady was. Not the GOAT.
Yeah, you know that.
Not the GOAT, but he's excellent. And Bill Belichick is not even in my top six all-time head coaches. Not even in my top six. So
we're weak on defense, but if you look at the Eagles at tight end after Goddard, they got Stahl.
They've got it. There's some things they got to do. Yes.
A tight end, a corner, a safety.
Well,
there's so many things.
I'm worried about defense probably more than offense right now. All right, Tom, who is our question to win the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's, most fragile players in professional sports?
Okay, I'm just hearing it for the first time.
Well, if you don't have one, that's I'm okay. I'm going to
No, I got somebody. Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards. Where did that came out of? I got to.
He gets hurt all the time. The guy for Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'll put you in the mix. All right, thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. All right, I didn't get to the Kelce. I'm going to get to it right when we come back. And where the Phillies stand in the odds to win the 2024 World Series. I'm Howard Eskin. We're at the Borgata, broadcasting live from the sports book, BetMGM. So here's what's happening at Borgata. I mean, I could be here for hours to tell you what's happening. Absolutely. I mean, you just, as soon as you walk through the door, the doors of the Borgata, you're excited. I always make sure when I'm here on Friday night, before I do the show, always walk by the poker room. Packed. It's just packed. We're open 7 days a week. It is I haven't seen all the other poker rooms in Atlantic City, but as far as I can tell, they're the best. The hotel is the best on the East Coast. Hotel casino is the best on the East Coast. It's just, you're only miles away from your happy place. The restaurants, always sensational. The bars, exciting, live music, the entertainment's great. The spacious casino, your favorite slot and table games, they're all here. A lot of people are at the spa. I should not forget about the spa. It's also terrific. It is a sensational place for you to just kind of relax, gear down, and have a good time. Start planning your getaway today. You can check it out. Here's the website, theborgata.com, for more details. She's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket to ride. All right. Let me get to this Jason Kelce comment, which you may or may not have heard. Probably the most glowing endorsement of a head coach that I think that I've ever heard. Now, there may be other players that endorse their head coach as well, or maybe better, but it's the best one that I've ever heard from Jason Kelce on his podcast talking about Nick Sirianni. Let's hear it.
Two of the teams are right in the AFC Championship and NFC Championship, John Harbaugh and Dan Campbell. I don't know if they've actually said what his role is, I guess, going to be on the offense. I know he said he's going to do more of like the head coaching responsibilities. Nick, and I really mean this, is one of the best coaches I've been around, and talking about coaching situational ball, really understanding what to do in the right moment, motivating guys. We coach things up in team meetings and hold people accountable better than pretty much any other coach I've been around. Players love him. They'll play hard for him. I know it was a really year for us. I think that Nick has a lot to bring as value as the head coach and the organizational leadership that he provides for the team. The other thing that I think, if Nick moving to like a head coaching position, he removed himself from play calling duties last year with Shane Steichen. That ended up working out pretty damn good. Nick has shown in his tenure with the Eagles that he's going to do whatever he thinks is in the best interest of the Philadelphia Eagles. And he doesn't care about how other people perceive it. He doesn't care about anything other than what's in the best interest of the team. Players respect the hell out of coaches that operate on that level and communicate things like that.
You know, it's when you think about that, and one of his comments about players responding to him, whatever, and I'm paraphrasing what he just said, it's when people said, oh, he lost the locker room. You know, this nonsense that is thrown out there is just nonsense. People just get crazy. That's all I can say. But if you don't believe Jason Kelce, we might as well just forget about what anybody ever says. All right, Scott, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard.
Hi.
Would you agree that both the OC and DC were both overmatched and not good hires?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. Who was overmatched?
The OC and the DC. Would you agree that both were bad hires and overmatched?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Could you tell us why?
Well, not necessarily, because I think Brian Johnson's a good coach. But everybody coached Jalen Hurts, but for whatever reason, it didn't I don't know if it didn't translate. He didn't process on the field. I think Brian Johnson's a good coach, but they were. It was collateral damage. They had to get rid of him. I think. And Sean Desai. That defense was brutal. Now, they missed. They lost two linebackers. They lost two safeties. One of the corners got 30 years older overnight in Bradbury. And then they lost one of the linebackers they thought that they were going to have in N'Kobe. Now, I don't know if N'Kobe Dean was going to be good enough, but they lost him too. Josh Sweat every year has like five or six good games, and then it's like, where did you go? He can be really – so, you know, are you going to blame that? Were they good hires? And I know where you're going. Well, you're going to blame the head coach. Let me tell you something. The head coach has a lot to do with it, but they talk about it, and they give reasons why and why not. So, I'm not going to blame him for that.
Okay. All right. I agree with you that there was – big-time quarterback regression, and that the players obviously were left too thin on the back end by Roseman. But I don't excuse Sirianni for the hires of the OC and DC.
Okay. Well, who was one of the guys that people wanted, the media wanted to hire? Give me a name.
I'm not going to give you any names.
I'm going to tell you. All right, I'm going to tell
you. Go ahead, tell me.
All right, Denard Wilson. And
okay.
Baltimore didn't even hire him as their defensive coordinator when they lost their defensive coordinator. So everybody was all, oh, they should have kept and hired Denard Wilson as their defensive coordinator. He didn't even stay with Baltimore. He had to go to another team. Baltimore didn't even keep him. So, you know, what's that say about him? Hey, it comes, let's be real, real
but
honest
were,
about
these
it. It comes down
choices.
To players. It comes down to
okay.
players.
But were these choices Nick's choices, or were they Howie's choices? And I'm under the impression they were Nick's choices. And if they were Nick's choices,
I would agree with that. I would say.
Well, then he needs. Then let's hold him accountable for it.
Okay. All right. So now, are you going to hold him accountable for the two choices he made this year?
I'm going to hold him accountable for the OC and DC hires of this year. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Do you like them?
No.
You don't like.
No, I didn't.
You mean
the new hires? No, I like new hires very much. Yeah,
oh, that's my point. That's what I'm asking you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I misunderstood the question.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
I like the new hires very much. They're experienced.
Okay, the players. It was just. I'm telling you, you could go right down the list of players that have disappointed you. Well, he should have been better, and he should have been better. And I'm not going to just – I could be here all day. To name.
We agree about the players
okay,
that they
but,
didn't
but
play.
It's not just –
But
the
it's
coach
more than
coaches
that,
him.
Howard. It's more than that.
No.
You
heard Jason Kelce. You heard Jason Kelce, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Do you trust Jason Kelce?
I absolutely trust Jason Kelce.
Okay.
Yes,
the best, maybe the best leader on this football team.
Jason
and the most honest
Kelce
guy.
Is not going to come out and tell us that the OC and DC were overmatched.
Okay, what did he say about the head? We're just talking about the head coach now. You know, you're going to blame him for the coordinators. Collateral
damage. I think there needs to be accountability there.
Okay, there is
not.
Accountability. There is accountability, but if you just discarded. Discarded what Jason Kelce said. Discarded.
I never discarded what
okay.
Kelce
well,
said.
That, so
ever.
you're gonna blame Nick Sirianni for two hires, and that was the reason that the Eagles fell apart at the end of the year.
Well,
were you
I
saying
think it
that?
Needs to be. I needs to be factored in. It's a,
okay.
It's a huge
well, were you saying that at 10-1?
Yes.
No,
yes,
you
that's
weren't.
The thing. No, there is a handful of callers, Howard. That have been calling in from the get go and were saying that things don't
okay,
look
well,
as they
okay. Well, they were 10-1. Were they 10-1?
Yes, they were 10-1.
Okay.
That's correct.
Right.
But there were holes. There were obvious holes.
You know where their holes are? Their players are not even adequate. The players they had
but
on defense.
It was defense, both. They hired.
It's so easy to blame the coach. All right, Scott, give me. It's so easy to blame the coach.
Scott, you
have no clue. I talk to people down there on what's going on, and you have no clue. When I say no clue, capitalize N-O. no
that's
clue
fine.
What's
that's
going
all
on
fine
down
and good. Avanti Maddox.
Okay, give me the players that are the most fragile.
The most fragile plays a great player. He's a really solid player, but he can't stay on the field, and it's Avanti Maddox.
You know, Maddox is not bad. That's the only intelligent thing you said during this conversation. But have a great weekend. That's all right. 94 WIP. Did he say anything else that was intelligent? Yeah, he said to Jason Kelce, he respects Jason Kelce. So it's his second most intelligent thing. 215-592-9494. We'll be right back. The time now is 8:56. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Messages keep getting clearer. And we were going over the Super Bowl, and I haven't talked about that yet. And we'll talk to Mark Lawrence. San Francisco opened at, what, I guess, 2.5, went down to 1, then it bounced back up to 2. The best quarterback is Patrick Mahomes in this game. The best head coach is Andy Reid. You got two strong reasons to take San Francisco. They're on a roll. They play great as an underdog. I get all that. Patrick Mahomes doesn't lose as an underdog. It doesn't happen that often. So why is San Francisco favored? I can't get off of San Francisco right now. Why are they favored? I mean, it's the betting public. It's called gambling. It's not that easy. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called gambling. It's too easy to take Kansas City. I can't get away from thinking, why is San Francisco favored? Now I want to see what happens with the line during the week. And sometimes at this point, people play the numbers. But what do you think? You're not taking Kansas City because you think it's going to get to 3? It'll never get to 3. I don't. And 2.5, I don't think is it. When you get to 3, then it's a little bit different. I just can't get off the idea that San Francisco is favored. And I know Kansas City, quarterback, the head coach, their defense, like I it's hard to figure, but it's called gambling for a reason. All right, we opened up today talking about the Eagles. Why is Kansas City an underdog? I just can't figure this out. It should be at worst, it should be a pick. Now, I'm not setting the line, but it's the betting public now controls where this number goes. And I don't see a lot of, well, we'll see when it gets towards the end of the, next Saturday, we'll have a better idea, and we'll be do the show next Saturday, and we'll have a better idea where the number's going. All right, I started off the show. Apparently, nobody really cares enough about Joel Embiid. The injury, they're going to reevaluate on Sunday night. Reevaluate what? What is the injury? It's a lateral meniscus injury. What is the injury? Not lateral. What is the injury? Sixers got to be honest with us. And they got to be honest with a period of time. Just because they have 3 home games coming up this week, one with Dallas on Monday, one with Golden State, 2 marquee teams coming in, trying to sell tickets. It's just... just tell us what the injury is. You know, it never lasts a season, but we know that. Doctors know what the deal is. The doctors know, and they've told them. Tell us what the injury is. Give us a real time. Well, we're going to reevaluate on Sunday. Okay, it's great. Wonderful. Is it about selling tickets or being honest with your public, your fan base? And obviously, we've talked about the Eagles. The Eagles have controlled it. I said it, Nick Sirianni is the best coach in the NFC East. You can complain all you want. You heard Jason Kelce. You complain all you want. Jason Kelce kind of laid it out for you. I don't think he could have been any clearer. Mark Lawrence will join us at 9:40. The question today, to win the 110 the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's. Food, atmosphere, watching the games. Great, great, great place. Three locations, Horsham, Fort Washington, Lionville. Simple question, you can't use Joel Embiid. Most fragile player in professional sports. All right, let's go back to the phones and let's go to Nick. Nick, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how are you?
I've never had a bad day in my life, Nick. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to, before I get into my points, the segment you had with Spike the day they announced it was the send-off was really touching. And as a father myself, I could hear it in your voice how proud you were. So that was really a cool moment
great.
There.
It's great for him. That's what he wants. He's excited about it. New York is an interesting place. He had a great job. But New York's New York. It's, you know, the traffic, everything is different. But I think ultimately he wanted to really be back on the air. So,
well, we're glad to have him. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you, with the hiring of Fangio and with Kellen Moore, if things go south next year early in the season, what is the likelihood that mid-season that one of those two could fill in as an interim? Or the head coach?
Right. That is a hypothetical question, and I don't want to demean your question. The hypothetical question that you really shouldn't and it won't be answered. They're not going to change coaches. First of all, you're assuming the Eagles are going to be bad. All right, that's an assumption. We don't know because we don't even know what the roster is going to be. We don't know what they're going to do on defense. That's important in terms of player personnel. We don't know what Jalen Hurts, you know, like the offensive coordinator. Well, is it Jalen Hurts' fault or is it the coach's fault if he doesn't get better? You hired a new offensive coordinator. That's what everybody wanted. They didn't like Brian Johnson. So now what's the deal? So that's a hypothetical question that is really it's not fair to answer because you don't know. And I don't think they're changing coaches in the middle of the season.
All right, regardless. Fair enough. And then with Embiid, I've been hearing a lot on the radio about him getting better and then still playing in the Olympics. If he, I mean, can they stop him from playing on the Olympic team?
They don't stop him from doing anything. So can they stop him? They can tell him that if you suffer a career-ending injury, your contract would be null and void, and then his agent would complain about that. So you could do that. I'm just worried about the next 2 weeks. He should take the next 2 weeks off with the All-Star game coming up. Not this week, but the next week. Just take off the next 2 weeks. But I believe that Joel Embiid wants to go to the All-Star game. And it's foolish. Remember, he got hurt in an All-Star game. I forget which year it was. Wants to go. That would be absolute stupidity. To allow him to play in an All-Star game. Stupidity.
Which means he'll probably play in it.
Well, which means I know he wants to go. He shouldn't even get on a plane to just party with those guys. I know he's going to want to go. And I know they can't stop him if he wants to go. Shouldn't even get on a plane if he's hurt. It's foolish. It's just it's ridiculous. He shouldn't play in the All-Star game. Should take the next 2 weeks off. And is it more important for your personal achievements or team goals? And I've always asked that about Joel Embiid, and I still question.
I agree with that. Do have a guess. I do have a name, though, for fragile athletes.
Go ahead.
Jacob DeGrom.
You know what? He is. He always gets hurt. You're right. What a great pitcher. He does get hurt. That's an interesting choice. Hey, thanks for the call, Nick. Thank you. That is an interesting choice. Joe, you're on WIP.
Morning, King.
What's going on in South Philly, Joe?
Everything is everything.
Yeah, I guess everything is everything.
Now, King, I know that Pete Rose gave you that name.
What's that?
Pete Rose called you the King.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That's kind of where, I guess, started with a feature piece on television, and the guy, it was Channel 3 at the time, before I worked there, called me the King of Sports Talkers. The next day, I walk into the locker room, and Pete calls me the King. You're the King. And then he started calling me King, and then everybody started calling me King. It's, you can't have a nickname if you give it to yourself. That's why LaFraud James is a fraud. He gave himself King James. Nobody gave him King. He gave himself King James. Joe DeCamera calls himself the Hammer. Nobody gave it to him. He gave it to him. And there's a lot of people. You can go down the list. You can't give yourself, let somebody give you a nickname. You know, maybe do a show. Hey, what should my nickname be? Well, we know what mine is. You know, it's just, you can't give yourself a nickname because then it's fraudulent. So,
King, I'd like to take that a step further.
All right, go ahead.
Long live the King. Got a lot of power.
Well, hopefully I annoy people for a lot more years. I annoy people for a lot more years.
That means you're doing your job.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it is.
King.
Hey, listen, I'm going to have another title coming up soon, but I'm not telling you.
King, can
it's
I?
It's a very, very exclusive title, too, by the way.
I understand.
Well,
can
you don't
I touch
yet,
on
you
MB?
You don't know what it is. What's that?
Can I touch on MB?
Absolutely.
Well, see, that's the problem. You touch him, down he goes. I seen him go down like he was just tapped. The other nine guys were down at the other end of the court. He was just getting up.
He's just taking a breather. That's what it
is. Yeah. They're never going to win any championship with him. So
I believe, here's another thing I believe. I believe that first of all, he's an excellent shooter. There's no question. But I believe he goes from, a lot of times, from foul line to foul line. Because if he does more than that, he'll run out of gas.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter.
It's astounding. Now, King, Kansas City versus Baltimore.
Yes.
Well, Reed outcoached Harbor, and Mahomes outplayed the Ravens quarterback. He finds a way to win.
Lamar Jackson did not have a good game. They had three turnovers.
No, he did.
You can't win a game with three turnovers. You can't.
Yes.
Especially
now,
in a playoff game. No
you
shot.
Mentioned the... San Fran being the favorite.
Yes.
Well, you have to think about, well, what is it about them where they make them a 2.5-point favorite?
On, 2 point. It's 2 points now.
On the basis of what?
Okay, so what's your point? The basis, well, it's done by a computer. I mean, it's generated.
Well, my point is, it was the comeback win. I mean, you know.
Nah, it's more than... Hey, listen, they struggled in both playoff games. So why are they
your
favorite?
Yes, it's amazing.
I know. It's just... All right, what's your most fragile player there, Joe?
Well, I got to reach back, King.
Okay.
Because this guy never played a full season. Eric Lindros.
Yeah. My producer has a friend.
He never learned to skate with his head up.
Yeah, he was fragile. Hey, I appreciate the call, Joe. He was fragile. I will give you that. He was fragile. By the way, let me even mention World Series odds to win the World Series here at the Borgata Race and Sportsbook. Phillies are sixth. I mean, it's Atlanta, the Dodgers, the Astros, Texas Rangers. Baltimore Orioles are behind them, but these odds came out before the trade. I think they'll jump ahead of them. And the Yankees. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the Phillies would be sixth. Sixth in line for the odds to win the World Series. They need another pitcher and another bullpen guy, and I think Dave Dombrowski's going to get them. Jim, you're on WWE.
Howard.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Jim.
All right, good. Hey, you do a great job at giving out those numbers, by the way.
I only give them out once a segment.
Yeah, well, I said you do a great job.
Oh, yeah, right. People all right,
good.
Know the number.
I want to defend our coach, Sirianni. These guys call up, even some of the hosts from WIP, and what do? They compare them to Andy Reid and Belichick. Belichick's been coaching head coach, 25 years, Andy about 22,
uh-huh.
And Nick 3. You can't compare Nick with those guys.
Well, First of all, Belichick is not even in my top six all time, even though people call him the GOAT. He didn't win without Tom Brady, so we know that. People didn't want to hire him. Who knows all the reasons? But Andy Reid's the best coach in football. Best coach.
Oh, absolutely. So, but if you go with the first 3 years and compare Andy and Belichick and Nick, he's right up there with them as far as records and wins and playoffs and so on. So that's how you have to compare them, only on their first 3 years.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Hey, listen, I think Nick Sirianni's a good coach, but I don't think he's Andy Reid. I'm not a Belichick fan, so I'm not even going to get into him.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, that's why I think. And these people that call and say he did a terrible job. He made playoffs all 3 years. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. Yeah, they never made the playoffs.
I know. Hey, listen, you're preaching to the choir.
He's doing a great job.
All right.
Now, this is going to surprise you when I give you my player.
Your fragile player. Go ahead.
Bryce Harper. He gets hurt every year.
Has he been hurt every year he's been with the Phillies?
I'm losing you, Howard.
I don't think he was hurt the first year. I'll look that up. But
yeah, and he. Yeah,
all right, I appreciate it. Was he hurt the first year? I don't think he was hurt this first year. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Hey, King, how are you?
Never had a bad day in my life, Dennis.
That's awesome. I mean, I've been a longtime listener. My dad would never let me listen to you because he couldn't stand you. But I think you're the greatest.
Shocking.
Sports. Yeah. You're the greatest sports personality of all time, other than the Hammer in Philadelphia.
Well, that just discredits everything you just said. Hammer, right, who's the Hammer?
Joe DiCamera, the Hammer.
Oh, you mean the guy that gave himself his own nickname? Oh,
yeah, he gives the phone number every.
Yeah, what's with the Hammerhead? Who the hell?
All right, so a couple quick points on. I was going to call you dope about the Eagles, but I'm not going to get into that. With Embiid, like, how can you not know the treatment for an MCL injury? Like, we're going to discuss options. Like, how do you not know what the treatment is for that?
Well,
it's fraudulent.
The Sixers, and I don't trust a lot of the things the organization does because they've conned us. They've not been honest with us all the time. So, first of all, it's a lateral meniscus injury. What is wrong? What is the injury to the meniscus? What is the injury? That would give you a better timetable. They'll reevaluate Sunday because I think they still think they can sell tickets for Monday and Wednesday for Dallas and Golden State. Let's be honest with the fans. Tell them what the deal is. And if he needs to be out 2 weeks, he needs to be out, and he shouldn't play in the All-Star game. I mean,
and not to mention from a betting perspective, Howard, like, you know, you kind of want to know what the, you know.
They have to announce it. Here's what I think they'll do. Monday after their shoot around for Dallas, they'll announce that Embiid will be out that night. They'll do it Monday.
Right, because they'll get the fans in and then.
Anybody that's going to buy tickets.
That's true.
Whatever. It's just.
Another real quick point is. But why does a guy that's 7'1", whatever he is, why is he flopping all over the floor?
can
you just stand up and just reach for the ball and not flop on the floor? Am I the only one?
That's an unanswerable question.
Okay.
I wish I could answer it for you. As good as you think I might be, I wish I could answer that for you. Who's your most fragile player, Dennis?
Well, that dope Joe just took my answer with Lindros, so I'm going to go with Andrew Bynum because he never even played for the Sixers. He was bowling.
Yeah, so. I don't know if he was. I don't know that he played long enough to be fragile enough. That's an interesting point. But it's a good shot. All right, hey, thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. I see one dope on the line. I don't know if there's others, but I know there's at least one. We'll get to that. I don't even have to give you the numbers, right? Mark Lawrence is joining us at 9:40, trying to win the gift certificate, $100 gift certificate to McGurk's, located in Horsham, Fort Washington, Lionville. Great stuff at McGurk's. Most fragile player, in professional sports. I'm Howard Eskin here at the Borgata. Great, sensational, fabulous Borgata, broadcasting live from the sportsbook BetMGM. Time now is... It is what you make it, all right? All right, let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on WI. Sarasota, Florida. Joe, what's happening?
Yeah, Howard, I met you. Oh, I met you in the tunnel at the Chicago White Sox in Sarasota a long time ago.
Wow.
I know you don't. I know.
Are the White Sox still in Sarasota?
No, the Orioles are.
The Orioles are. Well, didn't the Orioles move from Sarasota, or they're in Sarasota now?
No, they were always there. They play Ed Smith. It went to the Reds. And
yeah, the Reds were in Sarasota back in the day. Yes, I know. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, I know everybody's talking about the Eagles and all that, but
yep.
It's getting warm. High school baseball started down here now.
Yep.
I'm wearing my Philly sweatshirt. What's the news on the Phillies? What do you got going on?
They're going to make a trade. They'll get somebody. I don't know if it's a trade or a free agent. They're going to get a starting pitcher. There's no question in my mind that Dave Dombrowski knows he needs a starting pitcher. I think they'll do that. Here's my – you know, people talk about a bat, and they're going to give Rojas a chance. They wouldn't have to worry about a bat if Bryce Harper would have played right and Rhys Hoskins would have played first. I think Rhys Hoskins was so important to their lineup, and they missed him last year. And this, you know, in the playoffs, you forget about the regular season. And you needed him. But they're going to get a pitcher. I mentioned at the sportsbook here at Borgata, the Phillies are the sixth favorite to win a World Series. So, but I think they're going to be really good, and I think they really have a decent chance. But they've got to make some additions, and I think Dave Dombrowski will do it. Their first workout for pitchers and catchers, and most of the guys are there because the games start the following week, is February 14th. It's the first workout.
Now, yeah,
I'll be there. I'll be there. So,
hey, one thing, and I don't really want to get the goo-rah going on again. I hear everybody talk, and they talk about, you know, Sirianni, but whatever. Nobody really talks about, like, how Doug Peterson got the boot, and what's the difference between Sirianni?
No. It was clear how Doug Peterson got fired. They wanted him to get rid of a couple of his coaches, and he wouldn't do it. But I think he was tired of them kind of overseeing what he did with his coaches. And he had another year left on his contract. He says, I'm not going to get rid of him. And that's when they decided to move on. So it was because he wouldn't change his coaches. So that's why. All right. So do you have a player that's...
Yes, I got one guy. I can't think of his name. A pitcher for the Dodgers that gets hurt all the time.
Clayton Kershaw?
Yes.
Kershaw. Okay. I'll put him down. All right. All right. You got it. Hey, have a good time in Sarasota, Joe. It's the dope portion of the program, and the dope, ding, 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 Cowboy Jim.
I think Mike Trout. Mike Trout, he's kind of fragile, wouldn't you say?
He has been at times fragile, but he's one of the best players in baseball. He's had his injuries.
He has. Well, you can send me the gift card by mail.
You know what? I'm not going to send you squat because you're a stinking Cowboy loser.
Why is...
You know what? I'm going to send you cockroaches, because that's what you are, a cockroach.
Why would Adrian the Giant fan call in? I mean, I don't understand that. There's nothing the Giants have done. What's he crying about? I don't get that.
It's like Cowboys fans. Dopes, delusional, idiots.
Well, you started off, it's kind of dumb that you started off with who's the best coach in the NFC East. Come on, it's Mike McCarthy.
Didn't want Mike McCarthy back. Stop it. Now you're proving you are a complete Not that you weren't a complete fraud. You were beyond a complete fraud to say that you wanted Mike McCarthy to come back and coach that team.
I did want him to come back.
No, you didn't. Stop.
Look at the 49ers. You said, oh, they dropped off the next year. Okay,
yeah, they did.
You don't think the Eagles dropped off? That was a massive drop-off.
No, that was the point.
Drop-off.
Okay.
From a Super Bowl year.
Okay.
That's Nicky Kotite.
All teams, especially after you lose a Super Bowl, and I don't know why it's just losing, but the Rams did it after they won, have a drop-off the next year. That's my point.
And the Eagles had a massive drop off, and that's
Wait a minute. San Francisco went to the Super Bowl. They were the fourth worst team in the NFL the following year with 6 wins. The fourth worst.
They didn't have Brock Purdy. That's good. They didn't have Brock Purdy.
You are all over the place. You are a complete idiot today. Boy, you are a complete idiot.
No, the idiot there is Jack.
What do you have? Are you not getting enough oxygen to the brain? Oh, I'm sorry. You only have half a brain anyway.
And what's wrong? What's wrong with Jack Fritz and everybody? I mean, bringing LeBron James here,
Jack. Jack, forget it. I'm not even going to get into that. LeBron James wasn't going anywhere. It's a complete joke. And he wasn't coming here.
And Mike McCarthy is the best coach in the NFC. Everybody knows it.
Oh my God.
Everyone knows it. Goodbye.
Oh my God! You have just showed your idiocy. Taking it to a higher level. John, over in Medford, what's going on, John?
Good morning, Howard.
Morning.
with the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
Now, the line, don't they usually say when the line first comes out and you see all that money going down on that side, isn't that usually what they call the sharp money?
No, the sharp money's usually at the end because they
wait. Okay.
A lot of people, let's say if it was over 3, people would have taken, and it wasn't going to be over 3, they would have taken that number, and then because 3 is a football number, and then a lot of guys try to middle the game. They try to play it both ways, but the sharp money usually comes in at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you never know. It could fall right there on 3, but that's.
If it goes to 3, I'll be shocked. Not going to go to 3.
And you know what the nice part about your show is? You give us so much to talk about. You really do. Now, I want to move on to this nonsense with Sirianni.
Yep.
When is it ever going to stop? Is it going to stop,
never
Howard?
Stop. It's never going to
stop. They're just beating this horse. It's a shame.
Where do the Phillies play? Rob Thompson will be the next whipping boy.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to you about the Phillies a little bit. Do you think it's wise for them to really give Rojas this job?
Well, it's a long season, so you could always make moves during the season if you see he's not good enough.
I mean, the guy.
So baseball is such a long season that you have time to help and make it better.
Yeah. And also, I wanted to say the Hammer, he gets his name from. He has guys calling in that don't know anything about sports, and he crushes them. The guys
don't even get me started.
Guys that know something can't get through. But anyway, I wanted to tell you my most injury player.
Right, fragile player, yes.
Yeah, how far am I allowed? What's the time stamp?
Just whatever you want to do, wherever
I say Mickey Mantle.
That goes way back. Yeah, but Mickey Mantle couldn't have been fragile enough. He had, and I'll put it down, he had 500 home runs. So he hit over 500 home runs. So when it was harder to hit home runs. So, and he had his injuries, but he still hit over 500 home runs. Ken, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
I'm wonderful. What part of Virginia are you calling from?
Fairfax.
Fairfax. I worked in Fairfax early in my career.
Oh, in Fairfax City.
Yeah, Fairfax.
Right by George Mason.
Well, I don't know. Is Wolf Trap Farm still around?
Yeah, that's in Vienna. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's still there.
So I remember that, but I worked at a radio station in Fairfax. Yep.
Oh, okay.
It was a disc jockey there.
Yeah. Yeah. Long time listener. Played football in the 60s in the Philadelphia Catholic League, early 60s. And I wanted to ask you a question. You know, Hurts takes this beating. But, you know, from and I was at the 60 championship game, and I've watched every Eagles game this year. As a matter of fact, came up for a couple. Where do you win and lose football games? I know we thing hurts, but where do you win and lose football games?
Well, here's the thing. You need the quarterback. I mean, look at all the teams that get and win a Super Bowl. You need the quarterback. It's the most important player on your football team. There are other important players. I'm not saying that's the only important player. The quarter, you can't win. It's rare that you win without a quarterback. Now, Jim McMahon wasn't a great quarterback, but he was good enough. But their defense was one of the best ever, the 85 Bears. And then you had, who was it? Baltimore got to a Super Bowl. Did they win it with Dilfer as the quarterback? I don't even remember. But they got there, but their defense was so great. But that's rare that you win a Super Bowl without a quarterback playing at a terrific level.
But you were at every game. Was Hurts on the run in 90% of the time? I mean, our line.
Yeah, well, but there's hot reads when there's blitzes, and he doesn't make that decision to get rid of the football. So, there were open receivers. And everybody acknowledges that, and I'm sure they've shown Jalen, the tape when you watch. Okay, this is where, this player's open, and this player was open. For whatever reason, he didn't process as well this last season as he did the Super Bowl year. And that's what he's got to do better. All right, who's your most fragile player?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, actually, it's a good one, but I'm surprised it took so long. All right, I appreciate the call.
I mean,
all right. I'm sorry to cut you off, but got your answer. But that's all right. You don't have to explain it. I'm Howard Eskin. Mark Lawrence will join us, but we're going to get back to we'll have more people qualify because I know we'll have time after Mark Lawrence. We're just going to do an overview of the Super Bowl, and he'll give us a college game coming up. 215-592-9494. The time now here at the Borgata at BetMGM is 9:36. And what's happening at Borgata? Well, the sports book is always a hopping place. When these games start, it's craziness in here. But craziness in a good way. Don't let me misconstrue that. The restaurants, absolutely sensational. Every one of them, sensational. The bars with the live music, terrific. The entertainment, always great. Casino is spacious with your favorite slot and table games. The poker room's open 7 days a week, and it is always buzzing. It's good stuff. It's always, always buzzing. So you want to have a little getaway, and you want to relax, but you want to have fun. If you're not having fun, you're not trying hard enough. Just remember that. And at the Borgata, hotel, casino, and the spa's terrific, too. Best hotel, casino, and spa easily on the East Coast. So you can start planning your getaway today, and here's the way you do it. Check it out, all out, on their website, theborgata.com, for more details. '94 WIP. Super Bowl in a week. The Eagles in months. Whatever. Joel Embiid, the Sixers hiding, and I'll say hiding because lateral meniscus injury. What is the injury? We'll reevaluate it. You know what the injury is. Just state it. Whatever. All right, let's now talk to Mark Lawrence. No football games this week. It's no football game. There's a Pro Bowl. That's not even – what is that? Is that a video game? I mean, what is that? It's just – Mark, I don't even know what the Pro Bowl is. Was there a line on the Pro Bowl? First of all, welcome this morning. Was there a line on the Pro Bowl in the past?
I haven't seen Howard because, truthfully, I haven't cared to notice. It's just a joke, the game itself is.
It's beyond a joke.
Yes. Players being named to the Pro Bowl, I guess that's just for their resume, if for nothing else. I don't know. Truthfully, I don't even know what the rules are here today. They just keep changing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, and you get the sixth and the seventh alternates being named because nobody wants to go.
Right.
It really is kind of a joke, to be honest with you. All right. So let's first take an overview. What, when you look at a Super Bowl, and it is what I said earlier, and we haven't talked about this yet. Kansas City has the best quarterback. They have the best in this game. Have the best head coach. Probably have as good or not a better a defense. So why is San Francisco? It opened up at what, 2.5, went down to 1, and then it went back up to 2. Why are they the favorites?
Well, they're the favorite, Howard, because go back to the beginning of the season when they install lines in Super Bowl games, and they installed them by the conference, not the team. So the NFC was originally installed as a 2.5-point favorite in the football game, and a lot of the sharps bet the game at that particular point. They can't go out and make Kansas City a 2.5-point favorite now because that would open the door to a ton of middles, and they don't want to create that. And there's also the San Francisco respect, I guess, per se, if you will, McCaffrey, Samuel, the trio, so forth and whatnot. But I'm a little bit surprised, really. I thought this game would come pick. That wouldn't be that far off at 2.5.
No,
you know?
Right.
You know, but for some reason, it still sits there, and now at +2. I really feel that when the game goes off, it's going to go off at closer to pick.
All right, well, and we'll find out during the week. I mean, even with the sharp money way back when they bet the conferences, it doesn't – I don't think it would probably equal – all the money that comes in from everybody when they bet now you can you can bet it anywhere, you can you can bet it in the park. I mean, it's just it doesn't even matter, you know, it just stand in the middle of nowhere and bet the game. So I don't know that it equals that, but it still surprises me that San Francisco is still the favorite. Now we'll see what happens during the week. So what are the things that you look for in a Super Bowl?
Well, I think you nail it right on the head in your first comment. It's coaches and quarterbacks, because they're the two that end up being, one, the most valuable player, and probably the coach that holds up the Super Bowl trophy. You mentioned Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. That's a lot of experience, a lot of winning, and I think they have a pretty nice edge over Shanahan and Brock Purdy.
Yep.
You know, although, you know, Purdy doesn't get any respect. They were 6-0 in the games at the starts he had this year against every NFC playoff team that played this year. In his career, when he's been favored by 4 or less points, he's 7-0 straight up into the spread is Brock Purdy. But we all know what Patrick Mahomes is, where he's been and what he's done. And he put on a spectacular performance in the championship game as well. But I think the bottom line is when you check the boxes, there's a huge edge here to Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes as far as the coaches and the quarterbacks are concerned.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback is clearly the better quarterback. That's why, you know, there's so many people that don't really dig deep into it, and it's emotion. And with Mahomes and Andy Reid and all the attention that Kansas City's getting, I just can't believe more people haven't bet this game down at this point. That's what kind of shocks me a little bit.
I was surprised with you as well, because when the game opened up and I saw it Sunday right after the Super Bowl, you know, I was sort of anxious maybe to make a play in the game, but I said, let's just wait and see what the public does and so forth and whatnot. And it didn't go the way I thought it would go, like you said. It ended up going towards San Francisco. It went down a little bit, just a little bit, to Kansas City, but then it's gone back up to San Francisco here. So I think the bottom line when push comes to shove is the odds makers feel they have a good line here. If for no other reason, they're getting action on both sides of the game.
Yeah, I guess, like I say, and we just mentioned it, we'll see what the sharp money is coming in later in the week, and that kind of be, and then it'll take my, I just can't get away from thinking, you know, I always tell you the line tells me something. Now, it's only 2, but it should be no more than a pick. Just pick the game, whatever. It's crazy. All right. So now prop bets are what people forget about. You don't even have to bet the game. Everybody bets so many prop bets. What are some of the prop bets that over the years that you have looked at?
Well, my number one favorite prop pick is one that's come up a winner 21 times in a row.
Wow.
Kind of hard to look past that, especially for the price. And, well, I should say 14 times in a row it's won. It's won 21 out of 22 times. But 14 times in a row, the team that will score last wins the game. It happened again last year. And, you know, whether or not it's whipped cream on the cake or whether it's taking the lead to, from reversing a loss into a win, that's what happens more often than not when you score last. It's pivotal toward winning the game. Right now, when they opened it up at, if you play yes, it's minus 155. If you play no, it's plus 125. But I can tell you this, that last year, that same prop that we talked about opened just about the same price, but it closed out at minus 225. So it will get bet. The team to score last to win the game. I think that's my top prop.
I was going to say it's probably not a steep number, but 150 is not a cheap number. That's, you know, you just, but yeah, because that's the way it works. So, is there anything else that you look at?
Yeah, you know, there's other props I think that you know that are noteworthy that you have to look at. You know, will there be a missed point after? On a kick, you know, people want to think because of the longer kick for the extra point, it will happen. But it's only happened two of the last 21 Super Bowl games. So you can dismiss that. Overtime, we all know about it. Just flat out doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's only cashed once in Super Bowl history. And I don't, you no need to go out on a limb for something like that. You get more into the player aspect side of the props, though. It gets kind of interesting because here's what I don't quite understand. Maybe you can explain this to me. But you talk about the most valuable player in the Super Bowl game. The favorite is Patrick Mahomes at minus 125. Brock Purdy is next at plus 150. But yet, Brock Purdy's team is favored to win the Super Bowl. It just it doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. And I think the indicator to what the right team is in the gift football game is more in the MVP of the game as opposed to
here's what I'm going to say to you, too. If San Francisco wins, I think McCaffrey, they always take a quarterback, but I just don't know if they'd go Brock Purdy. Do you know what McCaffrey is to win the MVP?
You probably get
a plus. You probably get
you get a big plus. I think you get about plus 355 is what I think.
Really? See, yes. I would take because all you need is one of those underdogs, those good prices to hit, and you know, and it kind of helps you out if you miss on a few of the other prop bets. If San Francisco wins, I just think McCaffrey's going to have a great. He's the best player on that team. There's no question, but he's not a quarterback. So no, and they usually don't take players that aren't quarterbacks.
That's true. And he was the guy that I played to win the league's MVP at the beginning of the year.
Oh wow!
He fell a little bit short, or will fall a little bit short.
Yeah, I think he is, but it's going to be Lamar Jackson most likely.
Yeah, I think it will too. But the other thing to consider in this MVP prop is this: is that while we talked about San Francisco and Purdy and McCaffrey, and you could even throw Deebo Samuel in there, they're splitting up the votes, those three players. They all each have the potential to win the Super Bowl, so the money's going to come in on three different factions for San Francisco there that way. On Kansas City, it's going to probably pretty much come in the majority to Patrick Mahomes with a little bit of Travis Kelce, but because there's three San Francisco players that are viable to win the MVP, that's probably the reason Mahomes is favored.
All right, so which is kind of interesting. I'm going to ask you a baseball question, and you may not be prepared. I picked up the odds here at the Borgata for teams to win the World Series. Do you ever look at that and take a shot at somebody to win the World Series?
Well, it's a little bit tough. I like to maybe play a little bit more for the MVP type players.
Right.
Ohtani won the MVP a couple 2 years ago. That was nice. That was a 50-1 hit on something like that. But tell me about the teams to win the Super Bowl. I haven't seen them.
I mean the World Series. Atlanta is 6-1. Dodgers are 18-5. Houston 17-2. Rangers 11-1. Phillies are 14-1. Baltimore is 16-1, but I don't know if this number came out before the trade. And the Yankees are 9-1. You know, I almost look, the Mariners, they're 20-1. They got a good team. But, you know, it's if you're taking a shot at not really a favorite, I kind of look at the Mariners just because I think they're a good team. I don't know if they'll win it, but whatever.
And they have a player on the roster that could be in the league's MVP as well. So, yep. You know, if he ends up winning an MVP, you're right in the money.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I just happened to see it today. All right, college game today. Who do you like?
Well, it's pretty appealing card here today, but I'm going to go on the Mountain West Conference. Utah State taking 5.5 against San Diego State. And Utah State comes in here on a real major roll. They started out, they have a new coach. They had no returning starters. They started out 1-1, but they've gone 18-1 since then. They won 18 of the last 19 games. They were taken out 3 times by San Diego State last year in the finals of the Mountain West Conference Championship. So that's a big revenge chip for Utah State, playing really good basketball, getting 5.5 points. I think they can beat San Diego State on the floor.
All right. You've given us 2 winners the last 2 weeks. All right. If people have interest in Mark's services, 800-321-7777, on the internet at playbooksports.com. Mark, we'll talk again next week, and we'll kind of narrow down the Super Bowl, and we'll see where the line falls too, which will be interesting as well.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that for sure, Howard. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Have a great Bye-bye. Weekend. Take care. All right. Dan Wilson back at the studio. Our most fragile player to win the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's. Great place for food, atmosphere, watching the games. 3 locations, Horsham, Fort Washington, and Lionville. All right, who did we come up with, Dan?
Yeah, so the winning answer today, a lot of good ones, but Jacob DeGrom. I mean,
there are a lot of good ones.
But Jacob DeGrom, so that's going to go to Nick in Collegeville. The guy is a phenomenal pitcher, pitched with the Mets, then the Rangers. But
he's always hurt.
He can never stay healthy.
I know, and it's amazing. You know, some of the answers, Andrew Bynum probably didn't play long enough to be fragile. Mickey Mantle hit over 500 home runs. Somebody named him. That can't be. Got too easy to take Ben Simmons. Obviously, Joel Embiid's not in the mix. Avante Maddox was close. What a good guy and a good player, but he does get hurt a lot. But it is Jacob DeGrom and Nick, you'd say, in Collegeville?
Nick in Collegeville, yes.
Collegeville. All right. You win the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's. You will enjoy it at any one of their locations, Horsham, Fort Washington, or Lionville. All right. Back at the studio today, Dan Wilson. I'm going to try this again because Caleb does a great job. Both guys do a great job. Dan back at the studio. Caleb Flieger.
Got it right.
Got it right. Caleb Flieger. Always screw up your last name. All right. Thanks for your help. And thanks to everybody here at the Borgata. Enjoy. If you're here at the Borgata, enjoy it. Everybody have a great weekend. Eagles football, not for a while. But there's still a lot of other things to talk about with the Eagles. Glenn and is Sealski working too?
Glenn and Mike, yes.
Glenn and Mike today coming up. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy it. WIP Sports Time 957.